Hey everybody, I'm Phil, and we're back for another Twitter-sode episode of It's Del Toro Time, a Guillermo del Toro podcast. Twitter-sodes are, of course, the short episodes slotted in between the Ecstasy of Influence episodes, which, of course, are the episodes about the movies that Guillermo del Toro recommended in the book At Home with Monsters. The Twitter-sodes are the movies that he didn't recommend specifically in that book, but that he has recommended on Twitter at some point or another. And this week's episode is The Music Box from 1932, about which Mr. del Toro said, and I quote, "Quintessential Laurel and Hardy short, a cinematic jewel and a must-see comedy classic." Now, it may come as no surprise to you that Laurel and Hardy, being a classic comedy team, much like Abbott and Costello, much like the Three Stooges, much like the Marx Brothers, have at their backs a sea of extremely loud and extremely opinionated and extremely pedantic fans, numbering in the hundreds, if not thousands, who are quick to declare any Laurel and Hardy short, as they are quick to declare any Abbott and Costello short, as they are quick to declare any Three Stooges short, either the greatest thing in the history of cinema or the worst possible example of their favorite comedy team's output. And The Music Box, although many people say it is one of the, if not the, classic Laurel and Hardy shorts, is also called by people a terrible example of Laurel and Hardy's comedy, tired and not inspired at all. But what is it about The Music Box that would make Guillermo del Toro say it was quintessential? What is it about The Music Box that makes Guillermo del Toro say it's a cinematic jewel and a must-see comedy masterpiece? Well, really quickly, The Music Box is, of course, from 1932, and it's about Laurel and Hardy. I feel like I've said probably something you already could figure out. Having to deliver a music box, and by music box, we mean a player piano. It's not a music, I mean, I guess a player piano is kind of a music box if it's upright. It's kind of a box and it plays music. Having to deliver a player piano to a woman who has ordered a player piano for her husband. They get to the address, and of course the house is at the bottom of an extremely, extremely long stone stairway. Most of the short is about them trying to get the piano up the stairway. They encounter a bunch of other people who get in their way or who make fun of them for what they're trying to do. There's a lot of aggression at the passers-by. They get it all the way up the stairs at some point. It falls back down. When they finally do get it all the way to the top, they get told by the postman that they could have taken the ramp around the side of the hill, and they could have just driven it right up there in their car, which leads to one of the funniest gags in the movie, which is them going, all right, and they haul the piano all the way back down the stairs, put it in their truck, and drive it to the top of the hill. It seems obvious, but it really works in the context of the short. After all this build-up, you have this hilarious little payoff. But the movie's not done there. The short continues with them trying to get the piano into the house, which results in them dropping it in a fountain and it filling up with water, and then them getting it into the house, and then they just basically destroy the interior of this home. They do a lot of dancing. The owner comes home. He's furious at them for destroying his house. He's furious at his wife for ordering a piano, because apparently he hates pianos, which is the thing. He starts trying to destroy the piano with an axe. His wife stops him. She's like, no, this is for your birthday. And he agrees to accept the piano into his destroyed home. But then he gets squirted with ink from Laurel and Hardy's pen when he's signing for it, and he chases them away. And that's the whole movie. And a lot of the strength of it comes from the gags. It's very interesting to compare a movie like Laurel and Hardy, like The Music Box, to something that we've seen other examples of already in the show, looking at Buster Keaton's The General, or looking at Charlie Chaplin's City Lights, or Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times, where you're looking at auteurs who are fine-tuning their art form, who Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin would work on a gag for take after take after take after take, perfecting it, just honing their craft, because they're creating a work of art. They're not just creating a quickie, let's make them laugh. Like, they could have done that, but that's not what they were doing. However, when you're watching Laurel and Hardy, what's fascinating about it is this movie was made for for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, it was a Hal Roach movie. You probably know Hal Roach, if you know him at all, from not only Laurel and Hardy films, but also from the Our Gang comedies. And one thing that these studios were really good at doing was mass-producing comedy. Mass-producing strong comedy, but mass-producing comedy. And it really shows in The Music Box. What you're lacking in timing, what you're lacking in clever editing or clever camera work, a lot of this is just, it's very... Very workmanlike. It's not boring by any stretch of the imagination, but what you're seeing is a lot of setups, a lot of shots that let's fill the camera with what is happening, we'll film what's occurring, and then on to the next take. And you'll see a lot of reactions between Laurel and Hardy that are very reminiscent of what the Our Gang does as well. There's a lot of that. I think of it as like the Hal Roach, I don't know if there's a term for it, it's the Hal Roach nod, where a character will say they're going to do something, and then they'll give this like quick like, nod, and then they'll do it. And you see Spanky do that a lot in the Our Gang shorts. And I don't know if he's trying to emulate Laurel and Hardy or if that's a Laurel and Hardy thing. I don't know what comes first. But if you watch enough of these old serial comedies, you begin to learn that there is a shorthand, that there's a language. So what you're seeing is a product of a studio, not so much a product of a comedy genius. But at the helm of this product is, of course, two comedy geniuses, Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. And I can kind of see where some people would say this isn't their strongest work. It does seem a little by the numbers at times, but in another case, it might seem also that they're just very relaxed into their roles. It is a little more mean-spirited in some ways between the two of them than Laurel and Hardy shorts that I've seen, but not overly so. Like, it didn't like strike me as like a particularly aggressive comedy. It's The Music Box. And I assume it's considered classic for a reason. It was preserved in the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. So, I mean, it has earned its stripes. It's very cartoony. It's very Warner Brothers-y. It's a lot of slapstick. I do feel it's a little long. There's some edits that watching it, the first half of it especially, there's some slow reactions, some slow edits, which I... Sitting by myself and watching it, I'm wondering if it's because they had to leave in places for all the laughs, because this was intended to be shown to large crowds of people at theaters, and Hal Roach was no slouch, and his production studio was no, you know, they were no stranger to how audiences reacted. I'm wondering if by this point they were like, just leave in some pauses, because there's some awkward pauses in there if you're watching it in a silent room like I was. But it's very funny, and I can see where Guillermo del Toro would have appreciated it, because not only is it great slapstick, which he loves, it is about workers working within the system, doing their best against seemingly insurmountable odds, and doing it with a sense of confidence and assuredness that he instills in his more comedic characters. I see a lot of Hellboy in Laurel and Hardy. I see a lot of Hellboy and Abe Sapien, as far as Guillermo del Toro's interpretations of the characters go, in Laurel and Hardy, two men who have a lot of affection for one another, who work together, whose styles and whose attitudes are polar opposites from each other, who sometimes step on each other's feet and get in each other's way, but who at the heart of every one of their interactions is just this ability to work together and see past their differences and celebrate their successes, much to the chagrin of the muckety mucks and the stuck in the muds that surround them. So I can see where Guillermo del Toro would enjoy a movie like this. And watching the comedies that he picks out, it's very pleasurable to see how he just loves the comedy of the working class, the comedy of the everyman, of the people who you would otherwise not notice on a city street. And that is very much what The Music Box is about. Just two working class Joes trying to earn a dime. You may hear that a few other movies, this movie was actually a remake of a lost Laurel and Hardy movie, by the way. As far as what I've read, it's a remake of a short film called Hats Off, which is considered one of the great lost films. It's not the only movie though that involved hauling something heavy up a flight of stairs. The 1941 Three Stooges comedy, An Ache in Every Stake, also involves our main characters hauling a heavy object up an incredibly long flight of stairs. In this case, though, a completely different flight of stairs. However, many people do make the mistake of assuming that it is the same flight of stairs from the Laurel and Hardy shorts. I don't know much about Los Angeles. All I know right now is that apparently it consists almost entirely of incredibly long flights of stairs. If this is not a Guillermo del Toro recommendation, by the way, but if you happen to catch 1941's An Ache in Every Steak, and it's available online, it is wonderful Three Stooges comedy. Actually, the Laurel and Hardy short, The Music Box, led me to this just through my research, and I watched An Ache in Every Steak several times. It is classic Stooges, if you're a Stooges fan. This is me editorializing. But it's interesting to watch how Laurel and Hardy and the Three Stooges do physical comedy, how they do established characters performing physical comedy that involves a lot of the same beats and a lot of the same setup. And just like The Music Box, An Ache in Every Steak doesn't end with them getting to the top. There's a whole comedy setup afterwards involving an exploding cake, involving Curly stuffing a chicken. It's very wonderful. It's great Stooges comedy. If you like Stooges comedy, if you don't like Stooges comedy, avoid it like the plague, because it won't do anything for you. But The Music Box, it's a light recommend from me. You can find it online. It's available in a lot of Laurel and Hardy collections. I didn't find it the masterpiece that it was sort of set up to be. And like I said, a lot of Laurel and Hardy fans, a lot of Laurel and Hardy scholars consider it an inferior work that has sort of gotten undue praise. And they recommend other Laurel and Hardy shorts. Check it out yourself. It's not going to take up a whole lot of your time. This is a short film. It's like 20 minutes long at the most. So The Music Box by Laurel and Hardy. Light recommend. It's not the greatest Laurel and Hardy thing, according to some people, but it is still the work of comic geniuses kind of at the height of their game. So pick up a copy. Laurel and Hardy, The Music Box, recommended by Guillermo del Toro. I'll see you. Oh, and if you're wondering where this slot's right in between Freaks and Vampire. 1932's Freaks and 1932's Vampire. So right in there is The Music Box, in case you're wondering where we are in cinema history. Also, it is absolutely nothing like Freaks or Vampire, so if you're watching both of those, take a little palate cleanser in between. Watch The Music Box. It might make an interesting little evening of film going. So thank you so much for listening. This has been Phil. It's Del Toro time, a Guillermo del Toro podcast Twitter-sode, and I'll see you guys next time with Ollie as we cover a full-length motion picture. See you then.